Welcome to The Morning Crew, a grief podcast hosted by three gals in their mid-20s. Here, talking about grief is completely normal and a part of our everyday life. So grab a cup of coffee or a drink. Grief conversations can actually be that casual. So let's talk about it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We are excited to wrap up the end of our year and our season all together. We really wanted to kind of take the time in this episode to reflect on any sort of lessons through our journey this year related to grief. Also reflect back on our word of the year that we decided on at the very beginning of the year. And just kind of any final holiday thoughts and thoughts going into 2025 that are grief related. I know that we actually were just all together looking at our podcast Wrapped on Spotify, which is super fun that we get to see from a creator's perspective and see all of our data and our most listened to episodes, and kind of get to see where our listeners are and what they listen to too. Thank you to everyone who shared our podcast this year with somebody new or who listened for the first time. That's always really exciting to have a new person kind of learn about our podcast and just our passion project. And on that note, our most streamed episode, which was probably our biggest cheerleader, was Kelsey's dad, who probably shared this with a bunch of friends. And for that, we're super grateful to him for a lot of that growth. And I think we took a look at like both Apple and Spotify, and he was definitely up there as a top episode. So shout out to Ken Rothaus. We love him and are so appreciative of him coming on and sharing his story too. And we also wanted to acknowledge that we recorded about half of the episodes that we usually do for a season. And honestly, just because there was so much going on this year in our personal lives where we've had to take breaks and really acknowledge and gave the space for that for everyone, as we always would. So I think next year, I hope that we go back to kind of our regular cadence and can continue to grow in the years to come. But did want to acknowledge that and just say thank you to everyone who still supports us and listened to us this year. And hopefully next year we can go back to regular scheduled programming. But yeah, so thank you everybody for a great 2024 and season three.
Definitely. Yeah, echoing all of that. And yeah, shout out to my dad. I know there was like, when we first started the podcast, he was like, I'll want to be on eventually, but I'm just not ready yet. And it was kind of like this ongoing dialogue where I told him to just kind of let me know when he was ready, no pressure. And I think he also was so open and did such a great job. And we did get a lot of positive feedback. And I love that he was excited to like share it with people, or other people then shared it with people. And so very fun and cool to see that it was our most listened to episode of the year. And I know before we recorded, we made the joke, I believe my sister's episode was the most listened to the year before. So now we'll have to do the battle and really look at the numbers to see who's in the lead. But shout out to my family for being vulnerable and being willing to come on, and our community of people, obviously, who were listening. And yeah, just echoing what Kathy said, you know, this podcast has remained something that's incredibly important to all three of us, but we're very much in the energy of practicing what we preach. And in no way did we ever want to force a record when somebody was going through something. And, you know, obviously, as we said, this is a passion project and, you know, life happens. So we hope by no means no one feels we, you know, aren't caring about this. We very much are. And all three of us are talking to each other all the time. And we're really excited to keep this going and have no at all flickers of stopping. If anything, we just want to keep growing it and bringing in great, exciting guests and continuing to make content, because we still feel really passionately about this mission. And I certainly love doing this with you two so much and appreciate both of you so much. So yeah, definitely still put out some cool powerful episodes this year. We were just more in the quality over quantity space.
I agree with that. Definitely quality over quantity, as we always would want to focus on anyway. But yes.
Yes.
And so for this episode, like I mentioned, we kind of just wanted to reflect on our year. We've had a lot of changes, a lot of curveballs thrown at us. And so I kind of wanted to start with Mads and see if you'd be our pioneer in sharing kind of your reflection for the year, any takeaways and lessons that you've learned in 2024.
Well, that is a good question. I feel like so much happened in such a little span of time this year. I was just taking notes on it, and even like meeting you guys feels like it was so long ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. I feel like it seemed like the days were really long, but like when you look back at it, it was really short. So I mean, from a, I think just like general like perspective, I feel like it's just been a little bit of a tougher year, like not just in the grief arena, but I think a lot of that is like underlying, you know, the tomorrow, actually, when we're recording this is the 18th of December, and that is the day that my grandma died last year. So it's just like crazy to think that like that just happened. And in the meantime, I lost my other grandma and like my last grandparent. And so like I simultaneously was watching both of my parents like lose their moms, which was like really weird and hard and still kind of is, especially with the holidays coming up. So there was a lot of things like that. I just recently texted Kathy last week or a couple weeks ago, I think, and I was in a really weird headspace, and I don't think I told you guys this on air, but I know I definitely talked to Kelsey about it, that my family was going, the McGills were going to go do Thanksgiving at my grandmother's house. And I was going to come up, and then enough cousins weren't going. And I also like, I didn't really want to come. Honestly, it just seemed like a lot because that's where she passed away. And so I was kind of looking for any excuse not to go. So I was talking to my aunt, and plane tickets were really expensive. So I was like, oh, I could drive up. And my aunt was like, I don't want you to drive in the Chicago snow. So all that to say, like, I didn't end up going, but the weekend that followed was like, it was interesting that just my dad's experience being there, he was really struggling. And like, I didn't realize that because I'm so far away. And like, my sister didn't tell me that. And also he like never is the one that shows his emotion. Like he's like in the house with like, even the dogs were girls was the joke growing up. Like he's so outnumbered. And so, yeah, he ended up, you know, sending even out a text about it. And I shared it with Kathy because it was so, when it first started happening and I realized he was struggling and like, it's kind of that saying too. It's like your parents are also just going through life for the first time. But it was a really real and like kind of raw example of that. And so it's been interesting trying to do the dance of like what you're feeling and like how they're feeling and what how they're reacting. But like my mom is not as, I mean, she, we have a lot of that we talk about, but it's my dad that surprised me with how visual, like how outwardly he's showing and, you know, thinking, talking, working through his grief. And I was thinking that we should maybe have him on next year because he's got, I know he would love that. He's a big fan. But so there was like things like that. But there's also a lot of like good. I mean, I got to meet you guys. I got to try John and Vinny's pasta. but like, I think there was a lot of good things. Reagan was born. Like, I feel like there's a lot of good things that intertwined with it, but I do kind of feel like it's like this just like overwhelming, like kind of like cloud. Like there was like not a single day that I didn't think about, my grandma Mitchell and the 364 days that it's been. Like it's, I told my mom, I texted her like a month and a half ago and I was like, I think I'm going to spend my whole year like grieving your mom. Like it's just crazy. And so I think that that's been like kind of the overlying blanket. And then, you know, there were mixed feelings with all the change with the election and all that stuff. And at work, it's all been really crazy. So I just feel like I'm exhausted. I'm ready to close it. I think we talked about it, but I think Kelsey, you might be like this too. Where I feel like if I'm starting something at like the beginning of a week or the beginning of the month, like, or the beginning of a year, I feel like I can stick to it. So I'm like, I'm just going to throw this in the bag, not worry about it through the holidays, just have an extra glass of wine, chill, eat the extra cookie and just like figure it all out next year. So that's kind of where I am right now. But yeah, I know there's a lot going on with all the holidays coming up too.
No, you definitely had a whirlwind of a year from, you said, like the end of last year mourning your grandma and going into that you had your job change. So I feel like relatively recently enough, you had everything that kind of went down over the summer kind of all at once. You then moved in with your partner and like that life dynamic and just moving in general and like all those layers of change. And I know you mentioned like the balancing of like your own grief and your parents' grief. I think that's super interesting. You sent the text to your mom being like, I've been, you know, mourning your mom for every day this year. I'm curious like how your mom responded to that and like what made you want to like word it that way. Cause I think that's interesting. Instead of you saying like, oh man, I really miss grandma. Like you framed it in like her lens. And I think, you know, that all gets complicated, but I think that's so interesting. I'm sure your mom was maybe touched by that, that you almost like centered your mom around the grief of your grandma. So that's part one of a question for you. And part two is now that you're living with a partner and you spent a year with like a serious boyfriend, like intermingling in your life with all these like grief moments, how that felt having to like express your emotions or explain your emotions and have somebody there to support you. Yeah, those are my two main questions for you.
Okay. I'll start with the first one. And that was the one when you asked about like how that conversation with my mom went. I remember she just like replied. I was like, me too, babe. Like that was just it. I was like, it was like casual, but it was funny because leading up to it, I would like for like a week, I would like text her and be like, hey, are you up? Cause like, it would be like when I was done with the day, when I was like, took a bath, like had a glass of wine that I wanted to call her and talk to her about it. And then we never were able to match up. So I finally just like texting her. And I think I said it like that because, I think that they had a very complicated relationship, and she's always said that she's the best grandma. Like she's a really, 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 really great, amazing grandma, but she wasn't always that way as a mom. So I think they have a weird relationship, and she's told me, and I've said this, I think on the podcast, that like, she wasn't expecting to feel the amount of like immense, like day, like daylight, like crazy grief. And I think it's interesting because we live very far away from where they are. We're like an 18-hour, 20-hour drive. So like we weren't there with her. Like we never saw her again. Like we just like, you know, up and she just happened when we were down here and we never got to see her because by the time we would have gotten up there, she was gone. So it's just really interesting to see kind of that play out and her talk about it. And I think that we might have a little bit more of an open relationship to talk about stuff like that. And I also think that I wanted her to know that they were remembered and special and important to me. Like I feel like by saying it like your mom, like you're like, I feel like so often I'm like, because I'm also in the past, I think we all do this when we're younger, like could make it about me, but I want to be like, no, like your mom is like missed every day. Like there's a, we moved in recently, like you said, Kelsey, which would be a good segue into the next question, but we moved in and we have these lazy Susans in our kitchen and they're in each corner. And so do you guys know what a lazy Susan is?
Yes.
Okay. Will did not know what it was. So, it's like a swinging cabinet on a wheel. And so I started to put all my baking stuff at the bottom left one. And Will was like, you bake a lot. You're 5'8". Like you're going to hurt your back. And I'm like, no, but that's where my grandma always put it. So like, which was actually kind of funny because she kind of did have a little bit of a hunchback in her older age because she was always consistently baking something. And she had all of her stuff in the one on the left, Lazy Susan on the left. So I put my stuff there and like, it is annoying, but even though it's like little nods to her like that, I feel like that's my mom specifically, because my dad has a huge family. My mom doesn't have any more family. And so I think she like, I want her to like, I don't know, feel like she's not the only one that's, you know, feeling of this in that extent. And, you know, we stayed together that whole week. Like we bonded a lot on that trip and we kind of dealt with it all together. So I think like, kind of just reminding her, like, although she doesn't have like her family that knew her for 60 years now, like, you know, we're still here. But it's also kind of messed with like that, just like I start spiraling also with like, well, the next line is succession is my parents. Like all of those really dark, crazy, like thoughts all start like braiding themselves together when all this stuff has been happening. And I think that's been like part of the cloud. So for your second question, it's been interesting. We've only been living in the same house for like a month so far. So I feel like I haven't really gotten time to like fully like you know, feel all the things and do all the things. But I do feel like he was with me when I found out. I think the audience all knows this, when I found out my grandma died. And so I feel like that was something that, like, that I think about when you ask that question. But also, like, he does have, like, we have a picture of my grandma and my papa on their wedding day framed in our gallery wall. Like, we have, like, little, like, nods to them everywhere. And so, like, I asked my dad, for this, like, flower pot that was in my grandma's living room. So, like, there's, like, little nods around, that I can, you know, see every day and nod to, but he never knew his grandparents. So, like, he hasn't really had to experience life through that lens yet, which I'm grateful that, you know, he can be turning 30 in a couple of days and that can still be his situation. But, yeah, that's kind of, I think, did I answer your question, Kelsey?
You did. Thank you very much. And thank you for sharing all of that. I know reflecting on all this stuff isn't always fun, but I think it's an important, and it's a good check-in to get, like, and acknowledge our growth points. Like, we all are learning how to grieve and gaining coping mechanisms and all of that with every passing day, month, year. And it's, like, important to acknowledge the progress and, like, growth we've had, but also call out the things we've had to endure. And it can be easy, and obviously our day-to-day lives, like, brush over those things, not call out, right? New Year's resolutions are typically around, like, I'm going to work out and I'm going to clean more. Like, New Year's resolutions, traditionally speaking, are not around grief coping or, like, self-growth or therapy. So I think it's nice and important that we're holding this conversation, and would encourage any of our audience members to also reflect on their grief journey, for sure.
I was going to say that I think it's always interesting also from a griever's perspective of, like, witnessing somebody else go through grief, and then added layer, like, your parents and also just people that are super close to you. Like, even still, as somebody who has lost a person so close to me, I still find it, like, I don't know what the right word is, if it's, like, astonishing or just, like, I'm still, like, learning through a lens every time I have someone close to me also go through grief. Like, you would think after so many years I've, like, kind of seen it all, or, like, I've learned it all, or, like, gone through all the emotions, but how other people deal with it is still super educational and, like, eye-opening for me. So I feel like that's just something that I think all of us will, like, continue to learn from, because it'll be, like, a different person every time, whether it's our parents or just a friend or a cousin or anyone in our family. Like, I think it'll just be interesting to see and kind of take away, like, how other people grieve and go through the journey themselves. And then maybe it'll, like, help you in your journey somehow. Or, like, if for some reason, like, there's a strength that you find in yourself that somebody else is struggling with, like, you can kind of, like, exercise that strength a little bit more for them, or they're showing you a way to deal with something that you've never thought about before. So I also think it's, like, such a good, like you kind of said, Kelsey, like, reflection through the year. And I'm speaking to Mads' experience, just going through grief and everything like that. But I did also want to ask, I guess I'll move towards Kelsey and say, what was your 2024 like? Any takeaways, grief-related, non-grief-related, lessons you learned that you kind of wanted to share?
Yeah, the big things, kind of starting with grief first, it was the kind of third year of grieving my mom. It was the first year of grieving my Nana, my mom's mom, who passed away in September the year before. It involved, you know, my move, moving's always a thing, but making the move of living solo for the first time and literally having more time to self-reflect and kind of sit with that updated stage of life. I feel like I had opportunities to talk about my grief in more spaces and places this year. Everything from, you know, I attended many weddings and wedding events, which were all lovely and wonderful, but, you know, people through my dad's episode, as mentioned, like that was a mechanism to talk about our story and podcast more and just getting more comfortable with sharing it, and different people who really surprised me who've listened to the podcast, like reaching out to me. I think I mentioned in our last episode without a guest that I added it to my LinkedIn and have since then had in like professional settings and speaking engagements, people coming up to me and asking about it. I also did officially join a table on the dinner party, which I think I talked about, which is basically this really amazing company that is very synergistic with like our ideals and missions, that helps try to connect grieving people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, that kind of middle area that's typically neglected, and creating kind of like virtual or in-person groups. And some are broad grief and some are very specific like types of grief. And I joined a Bay Area table. I went to a virtual session, and all of it obviously is like confidential in terms of like people's specific stories, but I didn't know how I was going to feel going into it. I can say overarching, a lot of the people in the group were going through a bit more of a fresh grief than me, but there were a few more in my level. But I still found comfort and benefit from being in a space. Obviously, I've been lucky enough to find that with both of you. And I did feel especially fortunate hearing all these other people like using the dinner party as their sole connection to anyone who's gone through grief. And just any space where I can keep reminding myself, like, this is something I went through. Like, I can fake live a normal, air quotes, life every day and pretend like my mom's still alive, but that's not actually helpful. And anytime I can have a space where I can acknowledge it, talk about it, process it, of course, as well as in therapy, but that was positive. It even included doing a separate one-on-one, like, meetup with a girl from that dinner party. So shout out to her. She reached out to me. If she's listening, I have no idea, but that was also really positive to just, again, keep growing the people of like peers who have gone through grief. I think that I've had different guy situations where I've had to share about it for the first time. And I just feel like I'm living in that area where, for absolutely completely understandable, right, less people are checking in with me about it in my day-to-day life. I'm further out from it happening, but I'm not so far out that it's still not in my mind. I feel like there's that gray area period a little bit. And I've one learning, and it has been after we all had that talk where we agreed I should go back to therapy again, and I have. So I took that, and helping me be willing to actually sit and process my harder emotions. I'm like, sit with sadness, let myself feel sad, anger, frustrated, which my default is to not. My default is to suppress it, compartmentalize it, look at the positive, move along. And so that's been a big lesson and something I'm working on. And, you know, my therapist has suggested, of course, anything from journaling to, you know, if I'm feeling anxious, what feeling is like, if I wasn't feeling anxious, would I be feeling in this moment if it wasn't anxiety? And is it fear? Is it sadness? Is it, you know, like trying to plug that in? And I think we've talked about this one, the like scheduling time to like think about her or be sad or, you know, have dedicated time. I genuinely felt a difference from us not recording as frequently this year. And that was in part where I picked up therapy, because this has been such like a dedicated space for me to like release grief thoughts in some way, whether it's about our guests or about ourselves. And not having that as frequently, it was like shocking. I was like, wow, that really was my outlet. And like, I need to create a different outlet. So I think, yeah, from a grief perspective, those were kind of all the biggest things. I was fortunate enough to not like lose somebody new, but just continuing to adapt to those dynamics and relationships and conversations and normalized sharing and talking about it with new people. I have met a lot of great new friends this year, and it's always a reminder that like, here's a whole new crop of people who aren't going to ever have met her. But it's just another opportunity to share and connect. But yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I had the pleasure of meeting some of your coworkers who have either.
Yes. Wait, we haven't talked about this.
I'm so mad.
Okay, really quick, let me just say, Kathy fucking showed up at my birthday, which was so cool and fun, and was everything to me, meant everything to me. It was so fun. She came for the weekend. I had this like partial bar rent out birthday. So this is back a few months ago now. And Kathy obviously barely knew anyone other than my sister and meeting like one friend once, and just showed up, had so much fun, was so easy to plug into. We got to hang out with her friends. We literally like shared my apartment, like literally sleepover style, hung out together. Mads and Kathy surprised me with the coolest, cutest Taylor Swift birthday cake. And it was so funny because like some people knew who Kathy was, that she was like my podcast, grief podcast co-host. Some people just know like they're connected and she's just a friend from LA coming through. So that was also an avenue of explaining, but huge shout out and deep appreciation. That was so fun and so meaningful for me. Okay, you can go ahead. Sorry.
No, I appreciate the shout out and all of those kind words. But I was going to say that through that meeting or through that trip, we had talked about whether or not Kelsey was comfortable kind of sharing this because I was going to be there with her coworkers or people that maybe wouldn't have known as I introduced myself to people in her life and like had to explain the connection. So just to kind of like continue on the thread of you were telling more people this year, you were meeting new friends and kind of sharing this with them. I think everyone was always like super excited and like just so thoughtful when it was brought up, or like if I had to tell somebody new, like they thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And so I'm just really happy that you felt the need or felt like you could share more. I think it's only going to open up more opportunities for everybody here. Like the more that we share, the more stories that we hear from others. And I feel like it was also just a weird feeling to think about how people in your life know so many details about my life that like I think even yeah. other people in my life don't know about if they don't listen, you know? And so it is a very interesting feeling walking into a room and thinking like, this person knows my trauma and I haven't even met them before.
Yeah. Yeah. There was definitely a group of mega listeners at the party who almost looked at you as a celebrity, like, oh my gosh, I get to meet Kathy. Like, I've been listening to her for 3 years. I know her voice, I know her story, and now I get to just have a drink with her and say hi. So that was also funny to witness. And I can't imagine how bizarre that part of it would have felt for you, but you were amazing.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great. It was great to like get a sneak peek into like your more personal life, you know, grief aside, also day to day, like more interests, social life, hobbies, all of that, which is great to learn about. But I did have a question for you, not related to my trip, but in more so what you were saying earlier. You kind of mentioned like, and I don't know how often you have done this now at this point, but when you're navigating anxiety and kind of like trying to organize your feelings in a sense and name them, has there been one recurring feeling that has come up once you've put the anxiety aside? Like your therapist was saying, is it anger? Is it fear? Like what is there one common one that you think, or do you think it's like a mix of so many different emotions?
So far since being conscious of it, because it has been a newer addition from my therapist, it's been a mix. I've yet to find a pattern, but it was an interesting and helpful reframe. I hadn't heard it like anxiety positioned in that way because, and she reminded me, of course, there's a place for anxiety in life. Like if you don't have that little burst of anxiety, you're not going to get to work on time, or like the whole example of like, if you don't feel anxiety that a bear is running at you to run away. Like there is a place for some anxiety. Obviously I've acknowledged there's a lot of instances in my life I have more anxiety than needed. And I always just kind of thought that that was an emotion solely, fully by itself. But when it comes in that excess, just even forcing myself to think, if I wasn't feeling anxious, what would it be? And in some cases, it has been anger. In some, it has been fear. In some, it has been frustration. Once in a while, it's just literal excitement, which, you know, can have similar feelings. But yeah, interestingly, so far, zero pattern, more of just a helpful reframe to get me to actually process emotions. And sometimes it is sadness too when it's tied to grief, right? Like if I have, we'll call it like the like pre-grief anxiety, like anticipatory anxiety, mm-hmm. what I'm avoiding feeling is sad about something that's happening, which can like obviously tie into like the holidays and Christmas being around the corner and, you know, traditions, holidays, special moments, time with family being so in my face of my mom's loss. And like even this time of like pre-planning for Christmas and Christmas shopping, like I still hate that I can't buy her a present and I'm taking on things that she took on. And like, I know Christmas has come and it just like that anxiety is more frustration and sadness, but just literally getting used to labeling the emotions in that way and being in touch is something that I am working on and been working on the later half of this year and definitely will carry into next.
That is a huge, I feel like, component and was a breakthrough in my therapy journey. So I hope that it is for you too. Like the feelings wheel was really helpful. I don't know if Mads
yes.
also kind of heard of that too. And labeling feelings literally brings such a comfort to me. I don't know how to explain it. But also I just wanted to say that that everything you were just talking about really reminds me of Inside Out and Inside Out 2.
I was thinking about Inside Out 2 also while I was saying this.
How you would need all of those emotions. You can't just have one and all of them. Like you need to feel all of them to be yourself.
Yes. Shout out to Inside Out 2. Great movie added to this year. And love my little anxiety buddy. Like now I literally sometimes visualize my anxiety like that. And what's funny is I've heard that the movie's been helpful. My coworker was telling me she has like a 6-year-old and 4-year-old and will like tap her head and be like, anger is in control right now. You need to give joy a chance to like step in, or like they'll verbalize things and be like, anxiety is in charge right now. And it's just cool that a movie like Inside Out is actually helping kids at a young age teach them to like verbalize and identify their emotions. And I believe also reminded me of a post I saw today, which we can link if I'm correct, from Adam Grant, who posted just like a reminder to being able to identify your emotions. And there was like a cartoon that instead of saying like, I'm angry, and it showed the cartoon all bright red, like a cartoon person, all bright red. It's like, I'm feeling anger. And a reminder that like, you're not taking on the identity, like with the anxiousness or any feeling you're having, and being able to identify it and separate out that it's a feeling that is fleeting and it's not who you are, like shaping your identity, so to speak.
Yeah, I feel like that's something I've also kind of dealt with in therapy, of like with depression and anxiety specifically, of like not saying I'm depressed or I am a depressed person, but more so I am feeling depressed. And there are differences. And it's so nuanced. I mean, there's like, obviously you can have clinical depression for sure, but then there are days where you can just be feeling depressed and it's like, there is a distinct difference. So I think it's like really good to understand, but it's so hard sometimes to understand the difference.
Yeah. I feel like when I watched Inside Out 2 in the theaters, I was like, I saw that scene, spoiler alert, but the anxiety scene when she's having like a panic attack. And I was like, that literally, like I had like tears in my eyes. I was like, that's like what it feels like in your head is happening. Oh, like when that's happening.
I fully bolted during that. I was like so triggered. It hit.
Like I've almost like gone to the emergency room because I felt that way. So it's just crazy that like, it was just so cool to see, like you said, Kels, teaching you and like making it much more easy to talk about like why, like what you're feeling rather than just like, you know, not realizing that that's what's happening. So I always love whenever I see like her little stuffed animal out in the wild. She's also like kind of cute with her little crazy hair. But Kathy, speaking of all of those things you were just talking about, I want to lead into you and see how your year was. What was your overall, you know, what'd you learn? What'd you take away? Whatever you want to share.
Yeah, this year was really tough. I mentioned a little bit about earlier in the year and at the summertime when you guys came to visit, was the thick of a huge health scare and issue, an ongoing issue with my mom. And I think more to come, and I'll feel more comfortable talking about it next year. Fully and going into like a deeper dive into what's actually happening. But I think like for me personally, this year has taught me, outside of going through that experience, is really like how to lean on a support system. I almost went back and started listening to some of our episodes to see what we've told people to do through these experiences. And I really had to like kind of reflect and like drill down into what are the things that we tell people on this podcast, and had to really take our own advice there. And it's so much easier said than done. It's so much easier like to say all these things, and even living it, we've already lived it. It's still hard to like go back and really tell yourself that you have to listen to this advice. And so one of the biggest things I think I learned was say that I'm not okay when I'm not okay. Call people to cry if I need to do that, or to talk about like really dark things when I needed to talk about really dark things. And I think like it's also support, I think, will look so different for different people. And for me, I leaned on my family a lot for a lot of emotional and logistical and like talking through health related issues a lot. But I leaned on my friends for other small things that I feel like I really learned can take off so much pressure or relief in ways that like I didn't think meant a lot, but ultimately did. I even said, I think I mentioned like one of my friends took on making reservations for Kelsey and Mads when they were in town because I just was so overwhelmed with what was going on. And I feel like I got kind of really good at delegating my help. And I think like that might sound like a little bit selfish, but I think it's something we've talked about on our podcast of how important it can be when you're going through something really tough is like learning what are the things that you can delegate. I asked my friends for, I was just texting Kelsey like the other day that I'm going on more walks, and that's the only thing that I feel like is really helping me take time for myself to be outside and stuff. And something that I've run out of is like podcast content or like what to listen to on walks. So even like asking for like recommendations of like what to listen to for that is a way that your friends can support. Or like if there are, I think I asked for like resources on how to give health updates, which I got so many of those of like, I think there's an app or a website where you can type in your update. And Mads had shared that with me of like, you don't have to continue to repeat your updates to all of your loved ones. There can be one mass platform that goes out. I created a whole PR crew, I feel like, of who would be the people that then tell like the branches of the outer friends and other friends, because I got so exhausted like sharing that. So I just feel like that was a huge, huge takeaway. And even so, like I was going in and out of therapy because of like insurance issues. And when I got back into it this most recent time, I just like, honestly, this past week, I was talking about this with my therapist of how this podcast and probably therapy, just like you said, Kelsey, are the main outlets of really talking about grief. Like I can talk to my friends, but I really think that like this platform is a lot more therapeutic, and being able to relate, I think, is such an important factor when going through a grief journey. And obviously that's like what this whole podcast is like built on, but I forget it myself of like how much I need that support myself. And honestly, how like few people I really know that have like gone through major loss in their life still. And like, thank God I've met you guys and can lean on you now. And that's a huge difference from before. So I acknowledge that. And I'm very, very grateful for that. But I think like, I realize how much more I need that in my life. And so something I'm thinking of is like joining maybe not the dinner party, but like something grief, like a support group related type of forum or community. Because I think I need to kind of surround myself around those people a little bit more right now. And my therapist was kind of the one that was like, you need more support. And I didn't recognize it within myself. And so to kind of like get that message was a little bit like, oh, wow. Like, I thought I was okay, but you're kind of telling me that like, I need to be helped a little bit more, or like, you're just telling me I need to be supported more. And I thought I was okay. So I think like that's something that's just been the biggest learning lesson of 2024 is like learning to say you're not okay and asking for support when you need it and putting your oxygen mask on first before you try to be there for anybody else.
Yeah. I want to first say thank you for sharing all that, Kath. I know it's been a lot to work through and go through and keep everybody updated and deal with the whole thing like this entire year. So I appreciate you sharing it on a bigger platform now. My question I had for you changed throughout the way you like were talking after the last question. I was originally going to ask if, like I said, I was really proud of you for, you know, giving jobs and like reaching out. I think sometimes that's a hard thing to be like, oh yeah, thanks. Like, thanks for being there. Like, I'll let you know. But I asked you twice and you gave me two different things to do to help you. And I was like, I was so proud of you. And I admire that about you because that's not something I'm good at. I was originally going to ask if that was the first time you had done that and like experienced to do that. And then when the way you answered the rest of the question, I was going to ask like, was it hard for you? Or did you start doing that like after you started, like once you and your therapist talked about it, is that when you started or did you start before and like how you went through that process with her as much as you want to share?
Yeah, I think that honestly, it was our advice that I went back to that made me, that inspired that, like of us trying to think of what are actual tactical things that people can do and step in. I mean, we talk more so about like after loss or right around like loss and like how to help with like funeral arrangements or like going to go get a dress for the funeral or, you know, like all of these things. And I think that inspired me to be like, okay, there are things that people want to do and people also feel so helpless sometimes. And it honestly is a kind of almost like a mutual benefit here. Like my friends can feel like they're helping me if I give them a task. And that helps them, like that helps them. And so it's almost like I'm still thinking about like how everyone can like benefit from the situation in a sense. And it helps me too, like I just mentioned. So I went, like it was our own advice that inspired that. It wasn't even my therapist because it was well before that, but it was the first time because I kind of think like our podcast was a learning lesson for me and like, had we not recorded or like ever done this before, I don't think I would have learned those lessons like even with my dad. Like, I just don't think that I would have like known to do that until this.
Yeah. I think also, of course, echoing what Matt said about sharing, I know you've endured a heavy load on your shoulders this year. And like we talk about, it's like a weird thing to be like, you're really good at handling tough shit, because that's not what I'm going to say, because you're like, well, I don't care. I don't want to handle tough shit. But I am also proud that you have taken those steps and have doing these hard things of advice that we have given. Doesn't mean it's easy, but have done it. And I think you and I have had this conversation off the podcast of just like, of course, like you said, this isn't a loss, but our advice still applies to like big, like a big health scare, big hard time. You were a child when you did endure your loss. You are an adult today. So even though you have experience with a big, you know, issue with a parent, a loss, your mom's health situation and like all that is unloaded in that, like you are experiencing for the first time as an adult with a developed brain, who's gone through therapy, who's living in the world as an adult only child. Like, so there was this sense of like, of course it felt like you were kind of going through it for the first time. And you did a fantastic job at giving jobs and asking questions and asking for help. And I hope that inspires also just like every, like you said, it helps all your friends feel like they are supporting you in a tangible way. And I hope then if like they ever go through anything, they know that like, oh, Kathy did this, like I'm going to do this too. And like what our podcast is doing, because it doesn't make anything big go away, but the little things do add up. And if you can feel some things be offloaded in the way that like you asked for, I think that's amazing. And just, it's a lot. And like you said, we'll have a full episode and like true dedicated space because there's so much to unpack and talk about in the layers and everything that you've been going through. But it's just a cool full circle thing that it really genuinely was the podcast and the previous episodes that have helped you. And I also love and support that you're also feeling like you want to be in more of a grief community and acknowledging it is so rare to still meet someone our age who's gone through big losses or, you know, family health situations like this. And the dinner party has been an awesome and free tool, and there's in-person and virtual. So shouting them out, but whatever you end up finding, like, I do think even in like the small instance, like I've experienced that the more you can surround yourself, the more like of that normalcy layer, support layer. Like you said, it's so nice when you don't have to over explain something. So thank you all for sharing, and very important takeaway of like knowing when and how to ask for help and get support.
Thank you. No, I appreciate both of you kind of acknowledging all of the actions and that whole time, and just like obviously your support too. I'll go into that again, kind of more in detail when I want to like thank everybody for all the different types of support that I got. But I just appreciate all of that a lot. And all of my friends that are listening that like supported through all that whole time. I'm just very, very, very grateful to have like a community and a village to like just support me and have my back during hard times. And I know not everyone is fortunate enough to have that. So I also want to acknowledge that I am lucky to have people that care so much.
Very well said. And shout out to Kathy's badass circle of people in her life, which is a testament to you and the type of people and relationships you've fostered and the people that you surround yourself with. And of course, wishing the best, healthiest new year for your family. With the holidays now approaching, I do also want to check in with everybody of kind of like what we're up to, what we're feeling. You know, we've talked about it with each year we've done this podcast, but it is still worth acknowledging that the holidays are heavy. The holidays bring up a lot. And for all of our audience members who are listening, who are going through grief, like we are calling attention and holding space for that. I know I personally feel like the tidal wave kind of rise a bit higher in the grief space in the lead up and during the holidays. But maybe Mad, starting with you, do you want to talk about your holidays, anything that you're doing or feeling?
Yeah, I was laughing because I thought you were going to try to I knew we were going to talk about the Eras Tour, and I thought you were trying to weave that into that sentence. And so I was chuckling at you in advance because I was like, sometimes when you start those sentences, I'm like, how's she going to transition? I get so geeked about it. So that's when I was laughing at you. I'm sorry. I was not trying to.
No, that's okay. We'll get there.
I can see I'm just so excited about it. So I feel like it's like I mentioned in my or a little bit earlier, like I feel like this whole year just kind of been like covered a little bit in it. And it's been interesting to go through and like kind of see my dad go through it. It's also weird because like we don't have any traditions anymore. Like there's not a single thing besides going to Thanksgiving at my friend's house that I don't. And I just started that 2 years ago that like I don't have a single tradition. So that's been kind of weird, and realizing like, oh, our traditions used to be with this other generation, or these other like people in our family that just aren't around anymore. But I was trying to figure out how to get that like kind of sense of like Christmas spirit, get back into it. Because I really have, like I said earlier, I was like, I'm just ready for the year to be done. So I decided to make a new tradition with my niece Reagan. And she is obviously like 7 months now. And so she's coming down here for Christmas. She's coming tomorrow. I get to hug her and I'm so excited. But I was trying to figure out what would be a fun like thing I could do. And then my parents growing up, every year I got to pick out an ornament for the tree. And I have them from all of the years, but I decided that my tradition is to be that I'm going to pick out her ornament of like what represents her year best. And then I'm going to put the date on them. And so like, as she gets older, she can have all of them. And the one that I got, this year, you guys will love, is it looks like an album cover. And you can pick like put the picture. It's like if you're like playing like a an album on your phone, and it like you can take the screenshot, and it's like a glass ornament, and it says the Taylor Swift All Too Well 10-minute Sad Girl Autumn version. Kathy just
That's
had this
amazing.
Kathy just had this conversation with my sister because we had a group chat talking about something to do with Bravo, I think, and or it was Wicked, whatever it was. And she was talking about it. She's like, well, my Spotify is infiltrated because of this, of Reagan. Like, she loves this song. And Kathy's like, that's my favorite version too of All Too Well. And I didn't know it existed until Reagan. But truly, like, if she's screaming bloody murder, if you put that song on and hold her, she stops within 30 seconds. Like, it does not. We listened to it for like 2 hours on our road trip to Tennessee. Like, it's just truly does the trick. So I was trying to figure out, like I said, a little bit of joy I could bring to, you know, having a tradition, having something to look forward to, because it's just been kind of like every time we get to this time of year in the past, I guess the past 2 years, I've just not really been into it. And it's kind of sad because it should be, you know, I mean, should be, I say, but nothing should be what, you know, but it's you're surrounded by it in the stores and in, you know, with the coffee flavors and the festivals and all the things going on. So I feel like it's kind of, you know, almost makes you feel like you should be doing something or being more happy about it. But I am excited for that tradition.
I think that's really helpful and important to acknowledge the whole sentiment of like the pressure to feel happy and excited and festive and not actually feel those things, and acknowledge with like generations passing and like time going on that traditions do evolve, and like what your Christmas looked like as a child isn't what it looks like now for many people for many reasons, and feeling that attachment. And I love the getting like honoring your tradition for your niece. And yes, I think that title is famous in the Swiftie community because it's one of the longest titles, if not the longest title of a song with like all the versions, but it genuinely is very good. And I love that she's already a Swiftie and that it is literally the thing that calms her down. So just wanted to acknowledge that. And then Kathy, hear from you as well.
I was also going to say she's not the first baby that I've heard who's influenced Spotify rap with Taylor. I feel like a lot of babies are actually falling asleep to Taylor Swift, which is just, you know, speaks to her power even more. Yes, that is my favorite version of that song, I would say. And then, but I also like wanted to acknowledge the fact that I think I have had experience or just kind of like have grown to appreciate creating traditions for yourself when they're not there or no longer present. But it's also a hard thing to even have the energy to, or like mental capacity to get there, to say like, okay, well, I'm going to create my own tradition. Like I'll say, on my end, there were a lot of years where my mom did not put up the Christmas tree after my dad passed. And I don't know if this is like a recurring theme that if like she's feeling depressed or if she's feeling low, she kind of feels like there is no holiday decorating or like she doesn't really want to celebrate, and she can kind of get into a funk in that regard. And so I had to come up with ways to like still celebrate and like appreciate the holidays. And it still ended up being my favorite time of year, regardless of that. And I will say this year is one where she's also feeling like she doesn't want to decorate, and just given everything around her health. It's, you know, I struggle with honestly feeling like sad about that, because you just want to be able to cherish every holiday that you have together. And I also struggle with, well, if that's what she's feeling now, then like I kind of have to honor that and what she's going through and not force anything down her throat. But at the same time, it's important to honor my own feelings and my own like wishes. And I don't want to like strip the joy of the holiday season if that's what she's necessarily feeling. Like, I really still have to have it for myself. And so, like, what I did was decorate my room and, like, have candles and lights and have my own tree and ornaments on it so that, like, I could still be in spirit And also at work, like all of my cube mates at work have stockings that I've gotten them over the years. And we have lights up and like banners across our little cubicles. So I just feel like, again, kind of on the note of like, do honor what you want out of like the season or can take on from the season, even if is sadness around you or, you know, I guess triggers or anything kind of like that can be a cloud or dark over you. There are ways to still make it feel warm and they can be in the smallest ways possible if that's something that you still want to like look forward to. And I know that's not everybody. So that's kind of like my holiday related thoughts.
I love that you figured out a way to celebrate it yourself and not even like full on, like full, like a tree, like do like going all out for it. That's really cool that you are able to do that and that you did that. And I was curious if this is like, when do you remember when was a time where you started feeling like you could do that if the vibe wasn't right a year? Is this the first? Is this like, how long has that been going on?
Honestly, like a couple years ago, I was the one that had to bring up like, I mean, this is kind of indicative of my mom's and I's relationship, but I had to be kind of like push the decorating and like wanting to decorate together. And for me, that's something that I have always really now cherished to do with her because we both love it so much and it's a connecting factor for us. So I had to be the one to kind of push that. But this year was the first time that it kind of like reverted back to her not wanting to. And me figuring out like, okay, well, what am I going to do for myself? And I feel like, again, kind of that was also like a lesson through therapy too. But yeah.
I like want to see a video tour of your decorated room. So I'm going to ask for a video of that because it sounds awesome. Why don't I have my Christmas tree in my room? That's cooler. I will say this, being in my first apartment solo, first year of getting my own real full-size tree, not a little Charlie Brown tree, not just hanging up a wreath, but like a full tree and a tree and like our family's like tradition around tree that my dad instilled was always the four of us go and it has to be a unanimous vote on which tree we get. If one person had the power to say like, I don't like that one. And it was very much a thing the four of us did together. And it was the first time I ever went to like a tree lot by myself. And I had this weird feeling of like, no one else is voting. Like it's just me deciding and like having it. And it's a little excessive for just me. I think like one other person has seen it, but it felt still important to honor like the holiday spirit, even if it isn't cheery, like both of you have said. So love that you decorated your room. And it's just a great way, like you said, to honor and not force what your mom is feeling, but still make sure you're leaning into celebration and at work and with your coworkers and you're going out and doing like festive fun things with your friends. And that's a fantastic lesson. And we're talking about podcast giving tangible examples of ways to both of you just gave like perfect tangible examples. I will be going home for like some of the days leading up to Christmas, but actual Christmas, I'll be in San Francisco at my aunt and uncle's, which is the first time we've done Christmas there. So funny enough, I'll like be sleeping in my own apartment like for Christmas morning and then go right over. You know, there's some changing dynamics, like, which is amazing. And I'm so happy for my sister and her boyfriend. They'll be with us on Christmas Day, but she'll be with his family on Christmas Eve. So some of those like changing energies too of like, as expected, as you know, people are getting older and getting into relationships, things kind of splintering a bit. I think, yeah, the aggressive societal forced cheerfulness is excessive. Or, you know, if I'm like was out doing shopping and see like a mother and daughter shopping, like I don't love that. Or like I go by a store that I know my mom would like, you know, not liking that, but just finding a way to like give myself grace, but like lean into the parts that are enjoyable. And knowing that like whatever I feel on Christmas Day is allowed. Like the past few Christmases, I think I felt a little different at each one. And again, with like giving the space for it, I also know my dad, I think this is the first time he got more excited about like decorating the house himself for us. Like, I think like the first year he was more in the like, I don't want to do a tree. I don't really want to do much. I'll do the front door and like, that's it. And then I think he kept, or maybe kept up lights because he feels a neighborhood responsibility to like put lights on the house. But then on the inside, it's, I think this is the first year he really leaned into not even waiting for us to decorate. Like, he decorated the tree. He brought out some decorations. So just seeing like through his grieving journey, being a little bit more okay and excited to do that. It was very cute. I can send it to you guys. You would die, because he sent a little video like narrating like what he did and like showing his decor and the tree. And he like, you know, he sounded pretty positive about it in his voice and was like, Mom would have been proud like about this. And like, so that was like through his eyes to see that. And like, you know, we're not going to be home on actual Christmas, but the days leading up, and we're like excited to be there and enjoy and feel that kind of like, I'm proud of him for doing that. And it makes me more excited too, to like go home and feel kind of like that warmth. So yeah, I will send you guys that video. I think you'll appreciate his narrating.
I love him. He is so just like, I feel like he's just like a little like sunshine. I love him. But I was originally going to ask you a different question, but now I feel like I have to say that I think he needs one of the morning crew ornaments we had like our first year. I feel like that's what I just found out from that.
Oh my gosh, he does. We'll send him one. You know what we can do that'll really rev his engine? One side podcast logo, backside like number one most listened to episode of 2024. And he will really love that. So I can get online and make that for him for sure.
Yeah, that's perfect.
100% we have to do that. I was going to ask just really quickly about the Christmas tree lot farm. Like, when you were going to do that, did you think to like text Kylie or like ask somebody, like go with friends, or did you intentionally like want to do it on your own?
I intentionally wanted to do it on my own, kind of in the mental energy of like, this is my place. Like, I'm trying to still get back on the like decorating and finishing it out and making it feel like mine, and like really leaning in and embracing it, and not just feel like I moved in and that's it. And like taking ownership of like, this is my place. It's a big deal that it's my own place, and I want it to feel how I want it to feel. And it was kind of just like on my to-do list of just like, it's something I'm going to do today. And then getting there, and then like, obviously I'm surrounded by like families and couples who are looking at trees together. Like, that's not usually something people do by themselves. Actually, I didn't really think about that. And so it just was a little bit more in my face of our memory of like picking out a tree as a family, but also being proud that I was going and getting one and didn't let that like deter me, kind of a thing. And shout out to my cousin for helping me get it upstairs. I kind of didn't think through that when I decided to get a full tree and I'm two stories up, but shout out to him for helping me get it up. And yeah, so it was something that I was going to do alone, but I kind of just looked at it as a to-do list item. And then I didn't realize I was going to be hit with some of those like memories.
Well, I'm still proud of you for going out and getting your full tree. That is like the next dream of mine in my new like apartment or wherever I end up living in next year. I want a full tree, so I'm excited for you that yes. You have that. And then you'll need more ornaments unless you have just like a collection to round up.
I need more ornaments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Currently, I have a Target generic box of like different colored basic balls, and I have one ornament of three olives on a martini stick, and that's it for my ornaments here. My morning crew one, I don't have a string and hook for. It's like too heavy for the little hooks that came at Target. So I have it propped up in my room, but not like hanging up on my tree. So I am in need of more ornaments.
Yeah. Well, to round out our episode, I know we had said we chose a word at the beginning of the year for our year. But since this episode kind of lingered on, I think we can maybe tease to reflect on it at the beginning of next year when we choose our words for 2025, and we can look back on our words for 2024 as a refresher and a tease if you don't remember, because we all clearly didn't, Mads's word was routine, Kelsey's was electric, and mine was determined. So I'm excited to hear how you guys felt about your word next year. But yeah, I think that'll be kind of a great opening for 2025.
Well, when Kathy read me mine earlier, I broke out into laughing out loud. So that's where we're at, but we'll circle back in a couple weeks.
And we will, yeah, we can do a good little reflection of the password and what felt true about it or what didn't, and then talk about our future word. But before we fully wrap up, as Mads teased, we would be remiss to not acknowledge the Eras Tour in all of its glory, that all three of us were not together. That would have been insane. I don't know if emotionally I could have handled the Eras Tour with both of you. But separately, we were all blessed to be able to attend. We are all such big Taylor Swift fans. But even if you're not, the whole universe has acknowledged that the Eras Tour in itself was so historic and a force to be reckoned with. And I felt real sadness when it ended. Like, I got attached to it and I loved following along. And it felt like a happy thing that brought me joy even on random days. And I loved talking to you guys about, you know, different news from the tour and outfit changes. Kathy and I were together at my birthday when she wore the new rep outfit, and Mads was texting us freaking out, and Kath and I turned on the live stream together. You know, I have so many different friends, you know, which surprise song, this and that. So just want to shout out, honor, call on any favorite Eras Tour memories or thoughts on how she ended it. I was like literally emotional listening to the final piano mashup of Long Live New Year's Day and The Manuscript, because I didn't realize how much I was attaching joy to this tour and all that's come from it. So we have to talk about it. Mads, starting with you, how are you feeling about Eras ending, and what are some of your biggest takeaways?
It is funny. I do feel the same way, Kels, where I'm like, it was like, I just feel so sad about it. Like it was, you know, it's gone on for 2 years, which is crazy. But at the very beginning, when you went to like one of the
night one opening night,
and you FaceTimed me from it, and like watching the granny live streams and like doing all that stuff, it was just like so cool. I also went in Indianapolis towards the end of the tour and watched the TTBD set, and I was with my dad, and he had a shirt and bracelets, and like,
thank you.
The phenomenon of it is just insane. Like, when I flew into Indianapolis, like, there was a big like window decal of her. Like, it was just insane to think that like in that city where I went to college, I was like, nobody would go buy like the 1989 album at Target with me, because like we had something that was like kind of lame. Like, this is such a phenomenon, and it's just so cool to see like security guards trading bracelets, and you know, like, it's just like an all, I think it really came at a good time where we all like needed an excuse to like just be together and like not really think about, like, it was just like you said, Kel, just like such joy. And I did kind of call that final mashup was going to be the final.
But I loved it just as much hearing it.
Absolutely.
I feel like the Eras Tour literally was another era of Taylor Swift. And so I'm just happy that we all got to experience it in one way or another, and in multiple. I think I am definitely also sad that it's over. And I was also really hoping for a surprise LA show on 12/13, as some other conspiracy theorists were, on her birthday. And we'll forever question why she didn't say thank you to LA. So that is also on my brain. But now, more than anything, I am so ready for the Reputation re-release. And at this point, I'm only looking forward to that. And so any day now would be great if she hears this. You know, we really need it. Definitely leading into next year. I think it would really bring the country together if we had that.
Truly, I've never needed a new album more in my entire life than Rep Taylor's version. I agree, the country will need this desperately early next year. And I am looking forward so much to that. Obviously, debut TV. I'm sure we'll see news around her and Travis. Hopefully she continues to get, like, you know, maybe engaged, maybe married, you know, maybe a flower girl for Selena Gomez's wedding with her comment. Happy for her, excited, obviously, to continue to follow and support.
Yeah, that is something that I forgot to mention. I can't believe I even didn't mention it, but big congratulations to my girl, Selena Gomez. You know, Benny Blanco wouldn't be the first person that I envisioned her marrying, but he does treat her like a queen that she is and is obsessed with her and is very romantic, and we all do deserve that. So as surprised as I was, I am ultimately happy for her.
Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong. Was I the one to break that news to you?
You were the one to break that news to me while I was at a birthday dinner. Mads called me, and I thought it was something Wicked related, to be honest, because I had just posted Cynthia Erivo on my story.
And I always feel like I always will randomly, like, I check her location, then I'll call her. Just, like, sometimes it can be really important, and sometimes it can just be stupid. And, like, there's really no way of knowing where it's going to
go. Well, I would have answered if I wasn't at a birthday dinner, so I just couldn't. And so I had to, like, immediately hang up. Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, we are very happy for Taylor. We're very happy for Selena. We just had to end on our little pop culture loves of our lives just to, like, wrap us up. But I know, like we said in the beginning, we didn't have as many episodes this year, but I have so appreciated the episodes and discussions we have had in all of 2024, as well as all of our conversations we have off the podcast as well. I love you guys. I'm sending so much happiness and health and joy to you and your families this holiday season. And I am so excited to get back next year talking about our words. We even have a couple possible exciting guests lined up. We know that those episodes continue to do well. Maybe more family members coming on from different people. So we're excited to keep bringing the content next year and sending everybody so much love for the holidays.
Bye.